The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was from the house of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Once, when he was serving as priest in his division's turn before God, according to the practice of the priestly service, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Then, when the whole assembly of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled by what he saw, and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers toward children, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord." Then Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him in reply, "I am Gabriel, who stand before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news, but now you will be speechless and unable to talk until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and were amazed that he had stayed so long in the sanctuary. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was gesturing to them, but remained mute. Then, when his days of priestly ministry were completed, he went home. After this time, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she went into seclusion for 5 months, saying, "So has the Lord done for me at a time when he has seen fit to take away my disgrace before others." The Gospel of the Lord. And once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. And here we hear the story of the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel to Zechariah, telling him that he will become the father of John the Baptist. Now, everybody's heard the story of the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel to Mary, announcing that she's going to become the mother of Jesus. And that, in fact, is tomorrow's gospel. These two Gospels are placed side by side here at the very end of the Advent season because we're supposed to contrast them. We're supposed to see the difference between Mary, who responds in faith, and Zechariah, who responds in doubt. One thing I've discovered, though, you know, down over the years, is a lot of people don't see the difference at all. They hear the words of Zechariah, they hear the words of the Blessed Mother, and they say, "I don't get it. It sounds like they said the exact same thing. Why is Zechariah condemned while Mary is praised?" And the answer is all in the verb, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to know the difference between Zechariah and the Blessed Mother, the answer is all in the verb. The Blessed Mother says, "How will this be? For I do not know man." Zechariah says, "How will I know?" See, with Mary, the emphasis is on God. With Zechariah, the emphasis is on himself. Mary says, "How will God's wonders unfold? I can't wait and see how this will be." Zechariah says, "I don't understand this. I'm skeptical, and I want to read the fine print before I sign on the dotted line." That's the difference between the two. But it's a very important difference. Would you be surprised if I said that the difference between the response of Zechariah And the response of the Blessed Mother is at the root of every spiritual ailment in our lives and in our world. It's all this question of who do you look to? Do you look to God or do you look to yourself? Troubling our church at this very moment. You know, we've got these high-ranking prelates and bishops and cardinals, and I won't name any names, right, to protect the names of the innocent, but they seem to be twisting themselves into pretzels to try to justify things that everybody knows are not only sins, but are very serious sins. And you got to ask yourself why. It all comes down to the same answer. Who are you trying to please? Who are you looking to? Are you looking to God? Or are you looking to yourself? Now, that's an enormous subject. I could probably give you an entire day of recollection on that subject. So today, we're just going to have one application of that, okay? Just one application. It's the question of patience. Advent's a time of patience. Advent's a time of waiting. So it's an opportune time to ask, why does God ask patience of us? Why does God make us wait? And we're not just talking about patience like waiting on the phone while Verizon tries to figure out troubles with your billing cycle, okay? Are you waiting on the phone with some customer service agent somewhere? But real patience. You know, maybe you've got elderly parents, and they're declining in health. Maybe one of them made a turn for the worse. And they're not going to get any better, and you know it. And you wouldn't admit this to any soul in the entire world, but in the silence of your prayer, you turn to God and you say, why are you making them wait? Why not just take them now? Maybe you have trouble acquiring a virtue, or maybe there's some ailment, some difficulty in your life, and you pray God to be delivered from it, and nothing seems to happen. And you wonder, why does God make us wait? Why patience? Plenty of examples of patience and God making people wait all across the Bible. The mother of Samson waited for a child, and Zechariah and Elizabeth waited for a child, and heaven knows the Jewish people waited and waited, and they waited in slavery in Egypt, and they waited in patience as they wandered through the desert, and they waited to acquire the promised land, and heaven knows they waited for the Messiah. Why does God make us wait? It's the same answer in the difference between Zechariah and the Blessed Mother. Look to God and not to yourself, and understand, if God makes you wait, it's because he knows that it's for your benefit. St. Augustine says that whenever God makes us wait for something, it's because as of this present moment, we're not capable of receiving what he wants to give. It could be that we need to expand our ability to receive what he wants to give. You know, we're praying God for a crust of bread, and he wants to give us a banquet. And he has to stretch our ability to receive. And you know, it takes time. It could be that we don't have enough desire for what God wants to give. And nothing makes desire grow more than waiting. It could be that God wants to strengthen you to arrive at a point in which you don't even need the thing that you're asking God to give you. You're praying to God for crutches. He wants to make you walk again. But one thing is for certain. If God makes us wait, it's for our benefit. And if it weren't for the patience that God lovingly sends, the very gifts we ask for would destroy us. I've used this example before because it's one that I know from my own personal life. This little church up in the coal regions of Pennsylvania that prayed and prayed and prayed to God for the funds they needed to build a new church. And they just, a bunch of poor coal miners, they didn't have a nickel between them. One day, along came a wealthy man with one single donation, funded the construction of the entire church. And all their waiting was over, right? All their waiting was over, no more patience. And it almost destroyed their parish because in their sudden windfall, they did not appreciate the gift that had been given to them. They spent money that they had not earned. A little lesson sometimes, you know, to think about such stories if you ever hear of them. If God makes you wait, it's for your own benefit. And patience is part of his loving plan. So why does God make you wait? Remember the story of Mary and Zechariah. Keep your eyes on the Lord and not on yourself. We come to the very end of the Advent season. It's a season within a season, time of great hope, a time to lift up your hearts and remember, the Lord is close at hand. Amen.